Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we've got a Dynasty Startup Mock Draft episode for you. Tags, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I apparently stirred up some controversy on Twitter and in our Slack chat for the company today in regards to this whole Hall of Fame conversation between... I just thought it would be a fun conversation, like Matt Forte, Frank Gore, which one is more Hall of Fame worthy? And it's brought upon some hot takes, man.
I don't know. I mean, like... Everyone knows I'm the hot take guy, but frankly, this conversation just annoys me. I want to talk about it anyway because, like, I don't know. I think it's important. I don't think either of them belong in the Hall of Fame. You look at them. Neither of them were elite for more than, what, 2-3 years? Frank Gore had one great year. Matt Forte has been a Pro Bowler twice. They're just not elite. I understand they've played a lot of years. They've piled up all the yards and everything, but... If I had to choose one, it's Matt Forte, and I know that's going to ruffle some feathers. Not yours, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, I understand the conversation, like, why people would say they wanted both in there, just because of the fact that, how good they were for the extended amount of time that they did. Now, Forte was the more complete running back, but that's the thing is, like, this is the conversation we had, is that I don't think either of them were really elite, and the conversation comes down...
Yeah, what do you
mean
by how good they are? Like... Do you mean good enough to be in the National Football League, good enough to somehow be a starter late in your 30s, even though you're the worst running back in the league? Or do you mean like an actual, you know, elite player that defenses have to prepare for?
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what we were talking about before the show, and that, you know, like, I feel like the Hall of Fame should be reserved for elite players. Now, like, these are players that you have to worry about when you game plan against them. Like, Calvin Johnson, he's a Hall of Famer, right? Matt Forte, did you have to worry about him? Yeah, sure you did, but the Bears didn't have many other... you know, options that they were working with. Frank Gore was someone who was like, we know he's a really good running back. Like, there's no denying that Frank Gore is really good, and he's been really good for a long time. But was he ever a guy that you're like, oh my God, like, this is, we better throw 9 men in the box, like, because otherwise we're not going to stop him. Like, Adrian Peterson was that running back. Adrian Peterson's a Hall of Famer. But that's where the line comes. It's like, you know, is the Hall of Fame, is it the Hall of really good for a really long time, or is it the elite players? And how long do they need to be elite for? You know, we've talked about that with Sean Alexander and some of these other guys, where I would want a running back to be at least elite for at least a 5-year period before considering them for the Hall of Fame.
Here's the thing. Frank Gore was not really good for a long period of time. He was really good for 1 year. Just like Peyton Hillis, right? I mean, Peyton Hillis was awesome for 1 year, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying Frank Gore is Peyton Hillis. I know I am. You know what? Bring it. At Bobby Fantasy Pro. Frank Gore, besides that, after that one really good year, he was slightly above average for 10 straight years. That's awesome. That's really cool. But he was really good for 1 year. Maybe elite during that year. Matt Forte was elite. For, I don't know, 3-4 years, right?
Matt Forte was a really complete running back. The thing is, like, I got to see Forte a lot. You know, I've seen every single game Matt Forte has played. So Forte was a really complete running back. Do I think he was elite? No, I wouldn't say he's elite. I believe he's someone that you do have to worry about in a game plan because of what he was able to do in the passing game. Because he, honestly, he's probably one of if not the best receiving back I've seen in my lifetime. Now, that's the thing. If you go back some years, there's other running backs, but Matt Forte was as smooth as they come catching the football out of the backfield. Like, he was really, really good. He wasn't a great runner. And that's the thing is, like, I think Gore is a better runner. I think Forte's a better receiver, but I don't know if I would call either of them elite. And, you know, people are throwing, you know, 1,000-yard seasons at me with Frank Gore. And here's the deal with that. Like, Frank Gore played through some of the prime years to be a running back, you know. So the 1,000-yard season, they were, you know, a lot easier to come by back in the, you know, 2005 through 2012, 2013 area. And then obviously, you know, it's turning more towards a passing league. So 1,000-yard seasons weren't what people think they are today. Like, today, it's harder to get 1,000 yards on the ground, but Frank Gore, there's only been one year where he's had more than 1,214 yards on the ground. So it's not like he was putting up 1,700 yard seasons like Adrian Peterson. You know, that's a game changer. I feel like
Forte has two, by the way. Forte has more seasons like that than Frank Gore.
That's crazy. But here's the thing.
Plus he has, you know, he caught 102 passes one season, 808 receiving yards on top of 1,000 plus rushing yards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Forte was a better all-around running back. But I mean, I understand the argument for both of them. I think it all comes down to what are their credentials to get into the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, here's my question to you, Bobby. I feel like the player that should get in over both these guys is LeSean McCoy. And I don't know if that's going to happen because he wasn't always as durable as Gore. He wasn't always as durable as Forte. He didn't do it as long as Gore did. But I feel like LeSean McCoy was a game changer when he was on the field.
He was. I'm still not voting for any of them, though.
So who is the... So,
I mean, not that it matters. I don't have a vote, but I wouldn't vote for any of them. You know who I would vote for is Jamaal Charles.
Jamaal Charles, that's a good conversation, too. I think Jamaal Charles was absolutely a game changer when on the field. He was someone that obviously his durability was a major, major question mark with JC. But when he was on the field, he was one of the best of all time, man. Like, he was elite.
He played five full seasons, though. Like, he's been hurt so many times, he's played five seasons, that's it.
Well, that's the thing, is but during those times, that's what I'm saying. I think that's like, that's why Jamaal Charles is such an interesting conversation, because that's what I said, I want you to be elite for 5 years. And if you could do that, then yeah, I believe you deserve Hall consideration, and that's why Jamaal Charles,
to me...
He was
the single best running back at one time.
Yeah, Jamaal Charles was, if he wasn't the best, he was definitely in the top three for like a five-year period. So yeah, that's why him, Adrian Peterson, LeSean McCoy, those are the ones from the past 10 years that I would be like, absolutely. Like Le'Veon Bell's going to get there. Maybe Ezekiel Elliott, maybe some of these guys. But from where we're at right now, I kind of agree with you. Maybe like talking through this, maybe I don't think Matt Forte or Frank Gore should be in the Hall of Fame. But you know what, that's the thing, is like, you have to talk about players who are in there and players who aren't, and then help that quantify it. I don't think Curtis Martin belongs in the Hall of Fame, but he is. So if he is, then where do you draw the line? You know what I mean?
Well, here's where you draw the line. You become a Hall of Fame idealist like me, and you say, we need to fix the Hall of Fame, not just like for the future, but like remove people who just aren't very good, and then it'll be perfect. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome, but that ain't going to happen, so.
Yeah, you're right. One final note I want to make on this. Like, I don't think it would be a conversation if Matt Forte didn't have the worst offensive line in all of football. I think he'd be a lock for the Hall of Fame, but he didn't.
Yeah, well, Frank Gore, that's another part of our conversation, is that Frank Gore played behind some bad offensive lines, played on some bad offenses. He also played on some good ones. But Matt Forte, honestly, for his Chicago career, he was on a lot of bad teams. The only reason that the Bears were semi-decent, you know, during his prime years was because of their defense. They never had a quarterback. We know that Jay Cutler is the best quarterback in their franchise history, which is not saying much. They didn't have Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey until later in Forte's career. So, yeah, Forte, neither of them had ideal circumstances. Neither of them had an ideal quarterback, you know, behind them. So those are things that you should factor in, I guess. But that's why I think that they're borderline Hall of Famers, but I think they're just outside for me.
So, Tags, we do actually have a lot of news to talk about. I don't really want to, talk about it for like the whole show, because we do have a draft to do, and that's going to take a little bit of time so we can digest everything we're going through. Mm-hmm. But Andrew Luck began throwing. This is good news. Well, at least, you know, for Andrew Luck truthers, it's good news. I don't know why you would root against the guy. He's like maybe the most talented quarterback in the entire NFL if he's good. You know what I mean? Like, if he's healthy, he could be the best.
Yeah, he absolutely could be. You know, there's a reason that he was so propped up coming into the NFL. I'm rooting for him because, honestly, we're about to lose Tom Brady. We're about to lose Drew Brees. We need more of these elite quarterbacks. And I think Andrew Luck is one of those guys that, you know, he's flashed at times. I don't think he's ever become what everybody wanted him to be. But I also think that had to do with the team around him. And, you know, is he Aaron Rodgers level good? No. But is he... Can he be a top five quarterback in the NFL? Absolutely. I think we've seen shades of that. But here's the question is, like, he's been out of the NFL for over a year now. He's had a major shoulder surgery that obviously has affected him in his ability to throw the football. Will he be the same player when he returns? Are the Colts going to go out and get him a receiver? Because I tweeted this yesterday, man. The Colts
depth, so ugly.
The Colts wide receivers are so bad. Like, the Cardinals depth chart is really bad. But if you want to see even worse, so it's T.Y. Hilton, Ryan Grant, Chester Rogers, Krishan Hogan, James Wright, Colby Listenbe. Like, what are we talking about?
I'm going to try out for them, man. When they see my combine, they're going to be like, okay, he's our number two wide receiver now.
Yeah, people have been asking about the combine, Bobby, so you better tell them what's going on with that.
Yeah, so we're just waiting until there's a lot more people interested in fantasy football so we can, you know, get people to listen to our podcast and, you know, get better advice so they can win championships. So we're going to do the combine in, you know, late-ish July, post the video then, and hopefully it'll, you know, bring some people to our podcast.
Yeah, we're going to do some bets on that too. We're going to do some bets. We're going to involve the listeners somehow where we can figure out a way, like, you're going to guess Bobby's 40 time and all that. We already have a thing going on with the company talking about, is he going to be sub 5 seconds? And when Bobby first told me that, I didn't believe him. But after meeting Bobby, after playing some sports with him, I believe he's close to that range. And I wouldn't be shocked if he got under 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's definitely going to happen. I mean, I'm going to be like running past those, you know, those speedometers that they set up on the side of roads where people drive too fast. I'm going to run past one of those and it's going to notify the police because I'm that fast.
Oh, man. So Bobby's goal, I'll tell you so that he doesn't have to, but his goal is to beat Danny Amendola in at least 3 of the combine categories.
That's right. Yeah. And we're not going to do, like, I know he lifted the weights 12 times. I'm not doing that. Like, okay, let's just be real. I'm not lifting it once. So I'm not even going to, like, put myself on video doing that. I'm going to beat him in the speed stuff. All right.
I really hope so. But you do have to do the bench. That's part of it. You have to get into a gym and try to do the bench. This is going to be hilarious, sure. By the way.
Okay.
It'll be a good time. But you're not going to beat him in that one. We know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to beat him, but maybe I can get one or two. That would be cool. My wife would think I was pretty awesome if I did that. So, you know, the other news here, this is the big one, is Odell Beckham is threatening to hold out. Maybe he's going to get traded to the Browns. Where else could he go? Maybe the Colts. Oh, that would be so good.
So I'm so torn on this. I actually talked to my wife about it the other day because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't like out of line here, right? So I've been on record to say that I believe football players are underpaid. I really do. I think that they should get everything that they deserve a lot of money. In comparison to other sports, they make nothing. So, you know, do we want the money going to the owners? No, we want to go to the players. So I do feel them in that sense. I believe that football players know what they're getting into, so I don't feel bad for them there. I have an issue with what Odell Beckham's doing. I do. And again, I am one that believes players should get paid more, but I think that there's a right way to do it. And I think Odell Beckham is crossing that line. You're a guy that has been all about the kind of me attitude. You've had that attitude. It's been a thing around the Giants. And that's why I think the Giants are talking about potentially trading him, is that Pat Shurmur comes to town and they want to create a whole new atmosphere, because we obviously saw the coach last year lose the team. The Giants were a mess. It was a team that went from Super Bowl aspirations
to not even trying.
Dumpster. Yeah. A dumpster. Like, it was a team that you literally wanted to play against so bad. So now they're shipping out players, you know, they're trying to, like, make a new atmosphere, and Odell Beckham is not helping. You cannot show up on a video with a hooker, a stripper, whatever it was. She's doing coke, you're doing whatever with a blunt, whatever. I don't really care. But that brings bad publicity to the team, right? Instead of coming out and being like, you know, I the last thing I want to do is bring bad attention to the Giants. What do? You come out and say, I'm not playing unless I get a contract extension. I'll sit out. Like, dude, be a team player. Like, I understand that you deserve to get paid more. You've outplayed your contract. I understand that. I really do. But I also think there's a right way to do that. Go behind closed doors and talk to the owner, to the GM of the team, and say, hey, look, understand that I've outplayed my contract. Let's talk about, like, what can we do here? And I just feel like Odell Beckham has gone about this the entire wrong way. And that's the thing. He's coming across as very entitled. And I think it's the wrong. I mean, how do you feel about this, Bobby?
At least he's not, like, wrestling naked in hotel hallways or anything.
Oh, boy. That's your guy, Zay Jones.
It's not my guy anymore, man. Like, okay. You broke up with him. I gave up on him. All right. Yeah. I'm done with that. I'm done with Zay Jones. I'm almost done with Kevin White, too. It's sad.
It is a sad time. It's a sad time to be Bobby. But no, but
I've still got Stephen Morris, though. Stephen Morris going to get drafted first overall in that new league, whatever it's called, the XFL replacement or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going number one overall to the St. Louis Stallions. I'm going to get season tickets. I'm going to have a Stephen Morris jersey. I'm so excited.
That's going to be so lit. as the kids say.
Alan Hurren signs a 2-year deal with the Cowboys tags, and this is the greatest landing spot for him because they need a number two bad.
Here's my issue with this, is that I don't know if it is the best landing spot. And honestly, you know, some people have talked about, and now there's beat reporters coming out saying that Dez Bryant is going to get cut, that it's going to be after the draft, but the Giants are in fact going to cut Dez Bryant. I think it's a joke, but I can't see it happening. But, you know, with them saying it's happening, where there's smoke, there's fire, whatever. So Alan Hurren has played the slot a majority of the last few years. Now, granted, he played, you know, perimeter earlier in his career, but he's moved into the slot, and that's kind of where they felt he belonged. Going to the Cowboys with Cole Beasley there, and then they have Ryan Switzer that they drafted last year. It's like, okay. They went out and got Deontay Thompson in free agency. That was kind of like a signing, like, whatever. We know they're still going to go out and draft a receiver. And then they go and get Alan Hurren, and it's like, does this solve their wide receiver problems? My answer is no. My answer is absolutely not. I don't think Alan Hurren is a game changer. I don't feel like he's someone that can replace Dez Bryant. And if they're going, I've been on record all along. I even wrote the blurb on it for Fantasy Pros. And I said that I do not believe this will deter the Cowboys from drafting a wide receiver in the second or third round. And
of course not. Yeah.
Told me I was nuts. They told me I was nuts. Yeah, I don't think that happens. I think that they have some holes in their defense to fill. But I mean, if they cut Dez, they obviously need to draft more than one receiver.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm at the point now where I'm rooting for Dez Bryant to find a team that can appreciate him. That, and you know, if you're listening, there's a lot of people out there that says Dez Bryant has been bad the last couple of years. I don't find that to be true at all.
No.
In 2016, Dez Bryant was coming off an injury. And then honestly, after the first couple games getting back into the groove, working with Dak Prescott, he was amazing over the final, I think it was 10 games of the season. And then coming into last year, he had the most difficult schedule of any wide receiver in the NFL. Like, go back and look at it. He played, I think it was 11 cornerbacks that I would consider to be top 10 corners in the league. And when there's no other threat on the field to take any way attention from you, I'm sorry. I'm not blaming
Terrence
Dez for that.
Williams tags.
Oh, yeah, and Cole Beasley.
He would be
and
Jason, cut from like 80% of teams in this league, and he's starting for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and 37, 57-year-old Jason Witten, whatever he is nowadays, like out there. Like, that's what I'm saying is, like, what is deterring teams from saying, we're going to stop Dez Bryant? And if we stop Dez Bryant, good luck.
I'll tell you what, Jarvis Landry's trying to get Odell Beckham there with him and Josh Gordon. Maybe they'll just get Dez, too. They can have all four of those guys.
Maybe they'll get Corey Coleman because, I mean, Corey Coleman seems to be the forgotten guy in Cleveland. And
he's good, man. He's talented.
He could. I mean, I actually thought the Cowboys should have taken a flyer on John Brown. I felt like he was a really good flyer. Like, he could have played opposite Dez, attract a little attention if he could stay on the field, draft someone too. But I felt like he would have been a better signing than Alan Hurren.
Yeah. All right, man. That's all the news. Did you have any other news you want to talk about? You ready for this mock draft?
I'm fired up, man. Let's do it.
All right, cool. You wearing your suit and diaper?
No.
For those of you who don't know, last year we did a podcast and some crazy person recommended that when you're doing one of these live drafts with your buddies, you got to wear a diaper because they take a really long time and you just got to make sure you're focused. And you got to wear a suit because you want to intimidate everybody. So Tags always wears a suit and diaper to his drafts. I guess mock draft, you don't really want to do that. But
well, no, the certain guy that did that on our show last year, his name started with a B, ended with a Bobby. So, yeah, I the diaper advice is not one of mine. Mine would be just to show up with your notebook. Don't drink beer until the end.
that's pretty simple and good. And don't eat the wings either, because then, you know, you've got to wash your hands and stuff and you miss out on betting on someone. All right, man. So here's what we're going to do. We've got the Draft Wizard Draft Simulator on our Fantasy Bros website, and you can go to it. You can compete with us. Okay. We're going to do a dynasty startup draft. It's something new that the developers built for us. I guess for you guys, but I feel like it's for me and Tags to play with too. And I'm excited about this. So we're going to click league type dynasty. We're doing a snake draft, 12 teams. And here's our roster settings. Okay. One quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end. So pretty much normal. We're going two flexes. No defense, no kicker, 7 bench. We're going to go nice and deep, 16 player rosters with no defense, no kickers. Tags, let's randomize our draft order. What do you have, man?
Well, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that Isaiah Crowell will not be drafted by either of us. So my draft position, I randomized it. I got 5th.
Okay, I'm 7th. I'm not going to complain. I don't think you hacked the system this time.
I did not hack the system. I actually love being in the middle of a draft just because I feel like I can see where the runs are going at each position and I don't feel the need to reach for a player. And if I, you know, like when you're at the turns, like if you really want a player, you're kind of stuck. And if you really want him, you have to reach for him because there's no way he's going to last another, you know, 23 picks.
So Tags and I are doing different drafts. And so in one of our drafts, like Amari Cooper could drop to the 3rd round, in the other draft, Tags will take him like at the start of the second round, or somebody else, some computer manager would take him at the start of the second round. So it's entirely different. Draft Wizard gives you a feel for how drafts can play out, how they can be different. And if you prepare enough times, you get the practice, you're going to be ready to smash your league mates when your dynasty startup draft goes.
Absolutely. No, this is like practice makes perfect. And that's the thing. You're never going to be perfect the first time you sit down to do something. But once you start to figure out, you know, the trends that you're able to do, like if you go running back early, if you go wide receiver early, what does that mean later in the draft? You could find ways that you're comfortable, because believe me, there's been times where I've done mock drafts where I look back and I hate my team. And it's like, well, how do you hate your team? You drafted it. But it's the way that it's kind of put together, and you have to kind of be ready for anything. So
you've got to learn lessons, and you don't want to learn your lessons during the draft.
Absolutely. That's pretty much how I feel.
All right, man. So you got pick number 5. Who was picked first in your draft, and who's still available for you?
All right. So Odell Beckham went first. DeAndre Hopkins, Todd Gurley, and Antonio Brown are off the board. So it's wide receiver somewhat heavy. So I'm going to grab one of the workhorse running backs that is here. Now, Le'Veon Bell has moved down my board just a little bit. I just don't like the fact that he's kind of doing this year-to-year stuff and, you know, even thinking about retirement. I mean, I'm okay with him, and I think that he's going to play and all that stuff, but I would much rather go with Ezekiel Elliott here. Ezekiel Elliott, people are forgetting how good he is. Like, the thing is people are talking about Todd Gurley now, like he's obvious number one running back. I don't think that he's the obvious number one running back. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, 22 years old right now. He's only played 25 games in his career. Of those 25 games, 17 have been RB1 performances. Ooh. 23 of them have been RB2 performances. So it's like you are locked into top 24 numbers every single week. You're getting RB1 more often than you're not. The team around him has been bad. So, you know, the better that they get, the better he's going to get. So I think I still don't think we've seen Ezekiel Elliott's ceiling yet.
I think we have, and I think their offensive line is never going to be as good as it was his rookie year. I like the pick. I mean, if I had pick number 5 there, I would take Le'Veon Bell, but Elliott would be my number 2 guy.
No, and that's fair. And then that's the thing is, so the Cowboys the other day, they actually signed Cameron Fleming to play on their offensive line. So it's like that was a big signing for them. So I think they started to realize how important that offensive line is. And honestly, it wouldn't shock me if they started to build it again through the draft. It was just what we saw from the Cowboys and what made their offensive line so dominant. They just spent so much equity there.
So I talked about how when we do these drafts, you don't want to learn your lesson during the draft. That also applies during mock drafts when you're, you know, doing it in front of all these people. One time we did a draft, it was a 2 quarterback draft, and I waited and I got like Cody Kessler and Joe Flacco as my quarterbacks. I learned my lesson in front of all you guys. I didn't want to do that again, so I did a bunch of practice mock drafts before this show. And what I learned is that if I don't draft a wide receiver early, I do not like the way my team looks. So I've still got David Johnson on the board. He's probably the best player there, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get a wide receiver now. The best guys available, Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, Julio Jones. Tags, Antonio Brown went number 1 in my draft. As you said, he went 4 in yours. Just shows how these things are different. I would take DeAndre Hopkins number 1 right now. Who would you take?
Number 1, I'd go Beckham still. I mean, okay. I feel like no matter where he goes, and if someone does trade for him, they're going to use him. If the Giants keep him, they're obviously going to use him. They're dealing with a headache. It's like, why not like get everything we can out of him? So I would still go Odell Beckham here.
I like Hopkins' quarterback situation better. I like that he is more durable than Beckham. I think Beckham's vastly more talented, though.
I mean, it's fair. And I think it's up for debate. But the thing is, for me with Deshaun Watson, I'm not. So here's the thing. I'm not completely sold on Deshaun Watson. I think he's going to be perfectly fine. But I also I am not one that's like, oh, my God, he's like the number one dynasty quarterback. There's a lot of people out there that say Deshaun Watson's the number 2 or number 1 dynasty quarterback. And I'm not that guy. So, I mean, that's the thing is,
I mean, I believe that people are doing that. But like, how can you say that? I've got him as my number 6 quarterback, and I thought that might be too high.
Yeah, I have him right in that range. It's like 5 to 7. That's where I have him right now. So, I mean, a lot depends on luck, because if luck is okay, I would much rather have luck. But that's the thing is like, is Andrew Luck's shoulder okay? You know, that's something that can help be a deciding factor.
Of course, yeah. And Jimmy G's in the conversation too, for me at least. He's ECR number 8, Deshaun Watson's number 4. Anyway, let me make my pick here, and then I'll make my next one. Between Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, you know, Michael Thomas is awesome, but let's not forget, Mike Evans, even though he's been in the league a lot longer, he's still just 24 years old, and they insist on throwing him the ball. I think he's a better red zone weapon than Michael Thomas. I think, you know, the Saints, who knows what's going to happen after Breeze is gone. While Breeze is there, Thomas isn't going to get loaded with targets. So I think Mike Evans is the safer play, and that's who I'm going to go ahead and grab.
No, that's more than okay with me. You went Evans, right?
Yeah, I went with Mike Evans.
Yeah, no, I have no issue with that pick. I think people are starting to get a little too low on Mike Evans. I actually did my first best ball draft over on Draft. The other day I started one and I got Mike Evans at pick. It was pick 210.
Oh, what?
I swear, man. I kid you not.
This is like a 6-team league and you had the 10th pick in the second round?
No, it's a 12-team best ball league. And I got Zeke in the first at the third pick. And then the second round, I got Mike Evans. I was shocked that he fell there. But people are starting to underestimate him, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose that it has to do with Saquon Barkley and the fact that he could potentially, you know, go to that team. Obviously, it takes away a little bit, but I'm still okay with it.
I think it helps him, too. It's going to put him in the red zone more often.
It might.
Yeah. So I was talking about maybe taking Julio Jones. He fell to pick 2.3. I almost got him on the swing back around, and that would have been sweet. I would have obviously pulled the trigger. I was hoping maybe Amari Cooper, Dalvin Cook would drop. But the guy that I wanted even more, and I'm surprised he's there, is Davante Adams. 25 years old. He's Aaron Rodgers' clear-cut number one guy now. Man, I would have taken him maybe in the top 10. So sign me up, man. I've got him and Mike Evans as my one and two.
Yep, Davante Adams. I wish he would have fallen to me. I would have taken him right there with you. Honestly, I redid my dynasty rankings the other day. They're updated on the site. I'll be coming out with if by the way, there's people that listen that check out the dynasty trade value chart. That a lot of people have liked it, and it helps when you evaluate trades. I got a value on every player on every pick. I'm actually going to be re-releasing that. I think maybe early next week, but. I readjusted all my rankings and everything, and Davante Adams is actually up there with Julio Jones and AJ Green, where he's almost as valuable as those guys, but I don't put him quite there yet, but he is extremely valuable. I wish he would have fallen to me. So that's a great pick. I'm a little upset that Leonard Fournette went one pick before.
Ooh, ouch.
On this board, that kind of stinks. He fell to 2.7, which is kind of shocking. I didn't expect him to be there. So I'm actually going to go with my guy here. Everybody knows who I love, and I can't believe he's falling as far as he is, and that's Amari Cooper at 2.8.
Sweet
I will
value.
Take him there. Yeah, I'll take him there all day, and I would have had trouble choosing between him and Davante Adams, but I do have Adams one spot higher in my rankings right now.
Yeah, I've got Adams two spots higher. I've actually got him just ahead of AJ Green, if you can believe it. Adams is just, you know, he's young enough, and Rodgers is going to be around a long time. I mean, Adams is about to put up. He could be the number one wide receiver this year. I'm not going to bank on him being the number one above Beckham and Antonio Brown, who just had a historical run before he got hurt. But Adams has that kind of upside with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Nope. I completely agree. It would not shock me if he finishes the number one receiver. I mean, I don't know if he finishes in front of Antonio Brown or Hopkins, but I could definitely see him in that conversation though.
All right, man. So you got Elliott, you got Amari Cooper. I like your team so far. Who are you going with in round three?
I do. And man, this is a tough one. Rodgers is still on the board in the third, and I'm not usually an early quarterback type of guy, but I am also a fan of getting elite talent on your team. Looking at the tight end position, both tight ends are there, Gronk and Kelsey, but here's the issue. Gronk, talking about retirement, I think that's a real thing within the next couple of years. You know, I talk about it with Jimmy Graham and the fact that these guys are big wide receivers, and you know, seeing Gronk age 28 now. By the way, that's another neat little thing on our Draft Wizard is it on our dynasty sheets now? It actually shows the age of every single player on your screen, which is awesome, especially when you're trying to do a dynasty draft. So kudos to the dev team on that. So, I mean, I don't want to take a tight end here. Allen Robinson is on the board, and that's kind of the direction I'm leaning because I feel like if I don't get Rodgers, I could probably get Russell Wilson, and he comes at much more of a discount. So pairing Allen Robinson with Amari Cooper, I feel like I have two very, very young wide receivers that will have me set for a long time.
I'm going to wait on Aaron Rodgers. I would like to get Aaron Rodgers in the next round. I think that I can. If I can't, I'm just going to wait until the very end of the draft and grab somebody. I think the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson is bigger than the difference between Russell Wilson and the number three quarterback in Dynasty. Rodgers has just been that good over the last 5 years when he's healthy. I know he hasn't been healthy, but you know what? Quarterbacks are going to get injured. Aaron Rodgers' injuries have pretty much been a fluke. It's not like it's some, you know, back issue or soft tissue stuff. It's just, you know, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. That's going to happen to Russell Wilson. It's going to happen to Carson Wentz, as we saw. It's going to happen to everybody. So I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers. I'm really pumped that I got Travis Kelce here. I like him better than Gronk in redraft leagues. I like him better in dynasty leagues. And I would have loved to have Allen Robinson. That's who I would have taken if he fell. He didn't fall. He was taken two picks before me. So Travis Kelce it is. He's awesome, man. He's just so good year to year. He's durable, everything.
Oh, I like Kelce a lot, and that's why I mentioned him in the same tier with Gronk. And like, honestly, if you wanted to take him over Gronk, I have no issue with that, and I would probably debate it myself. Kelce, the reason I think that I think we have to lower him just a little bit. With the signing of Sammy Watkins, I think, again, it doesn't matter how we feel about Tyreek Hill. It doesn't matter how we feel about Sammy Watkins or, you know, Kareem Hunt or, you know, Travis Kelce for that matter. The realistic point of view here is that all of their ceilings have come down dramatically with the signing of Sammy Watkins. Every single one of them is going to feel that a little bit. So Kelce, you know, going from Alex Smith, a guy who was known as someone who would check down more, he started taking more shots down the field last season. But at the same time, is Patrick Mahomes going to be the type of guy that wants to go down the field a little bit more than Alex Smith? And does that include Kelce? Do they leave him with those intermediate routes or they send him deep? There's so many questions here that Kelce falls just a little bit for me. And that's the thing. I still think he's a good pick because he's a difference maker at the most, you know, unpredictable position there is. But he did lose some of his luster for me.
Plus, I could have got a younger Ertz this round, or you could wait and you could get Evan Ingram, Hunter Henry. There's a lot of tight ends in Dynasty that I like. I just think Kelce was the number one player on my board at that point, and so going to pull the trigger. That's what I always do in the first three rounds. Then I build my team around that. Now, Aaron Rodgers did fall. I need a running back. I don't have a running back yet, but you know what? There are so many running backs out there who are going to be useful this year. There's also all the rookies as well. Tags, are we drafting rookies in this mock draft?
That's the thing. So we're in a weird spot. So basically, this is one of the things we're working on with Fantasy Pros is that, you know, with all these rookies coming in, there's a lot of experts out there that don't want to rank them until they know their team. And that's fair. I understand that. But at the same time, we have to value them in Dynasty because some people are having their rookie drafts before the draft. Like, so we're trying to figure out all that and get it into here. So the consensus on them right now is low. So we'd be able to steal them, you know, later in the draft than we should. So I think we should leave them out until we get that figured out.
I think that's fair too, man. Yeah, because, you know, like, where would you take Saquon Barkley? He's my number two running back in Dynasty already.
Yeah, I have him right there with Leonard Fournette. I feel like he's the number five running back. Okay. I have him behind Gurley, Zeke, Bell, David Johnson. But if you wanted to take him in front of David Johnson, I wouldn't fault you because David Johnson's one of the older running backs in Dynasty. When you kind of look at it, the Arizona Cardinals are a mess. So there's a lot of questions there. So I would actually have no issue with that. So I'd say Barkley for me. I think he's a top 10 pick in startup Dynasty drafts right now.
Yeah, I've got him number five right now. So I'm maybe a little bit high on Barkley. And that could change depending on his landing spot or whatever. But
for sure.
Like, who's your number two guy? Are you a Calvin Ridley or are you going with one of these running backs?
You know, here's the thing. This is one of the things that I try to describe in an article I did not long ago. It's what is a rookie really worth in fantasy football? And not necessarily Dynasty, not necessarily anything. Just like, what are they worth right now? Like, how should you value them? And wide receivers, you just don't get that return right away. You know, it often takes a couple of years, and maybe year three is usually known as the breakout year for wide receivers, whereas running backs, it's a young man's game and they want to play these guys. So at 1-2, I'm probably going to go Sony Michel. You know, a lot of people say Darius Geis is the lock 1-2 pick. I don't believe that. I think landing spot is going to matter for these guys, but I think Sony Michel is the more well-rounded running back. He's the one who should be able to get on the field and stay on the field, provided he lands with a team. Like, I think that the Colts would be nuts if they get to the second round with one of their three picks in the second round and don't take Sony Michel with one of those picks, because I feel like he'd fit in extremely well. He's a great pass blocker, which is what they need alongside Andrew Luck. So Sony Michel right now, before knowing the team situation, I would go him.
I've got them neck and neck as my number two and three overall too, and Michel is my number two. So maybe we're the only ones in the industry that feel that way, but I'm right there with you. I've got Cortland Sutton as my number one wide receiver. He's just a special type of talent. We've never seen someone like him, so big and so quick. The closest we've seen is like Alshon Jeffrey. He's really good, but Sutton is even bigger and even quicker than him. He's not super fast. He's not super strong, but I'm really interested to see how this translates to the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Sutton guy. I mean, I understand the upside. I think there's some things that he needs to clean up in his game. Like, Calvin Ridley's my number one receiver. I've stood by that since day one. And like, honestly, I said it on a, I was on a podcast the other day, and I felt like, you know, after all this talk with DJ Moore and Cortland Sutton and everybody saying like Equanimeous St. Brown, and I'm like, wait a minute, did I overvalue Calvin Ridley? I need to go back and watch him closer. You know, I went back and watched more Calvin Ridley, and I went back to the same exact thing that I did before. I'm like, how do people not see this? Like, with their eyes, he's playing against the best competition. He's burning them. He's playing with a bad quarterback on a run first team. There's a lot of factors going against him. And I mean, Calvin Ridley's my guy. Like, honestly, like, depending on landing spots do matter. And I argue this, I will argue till I'm blue in the face, is that I don't care if it's Dynasty or not. landing spot absolutely matters. People tell me that talent matters in Dynasty. Yes, it does matter because you're hoping that they eventually get to the right situation. But again, this is a young man's game. By the time their second contract comes around, who knows what people feel, what they think of them. So landing spot absolutely matters. And I might draft someone like DJ Moore over Calvin Ridley if Ridley went to a team that didn't have a quarterback. So, I mean, there's factors all over the place. So they do absolutely matter.
So I went Rodgers in the fourth. Tags, who you get in the fourth round here?
You know, funny you mentioned that is that Aaron Rodgers is still on the board for me as well. That's where I'm going to go just because I feel like I want elite players on my team. And right now I feel like Aaron Rodgers, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and Allen Robinson is like a core that I just can't pass up.
Yeah, that is a really good core. All right, on to the fifth then. Who are you taking?
Oh, in the fifth, it gets really dicey because I only have the one running back and I'm looking at someone like Kenyon Drake. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go with the guy that just signed with the 49ers because he hasn't totally crept up yet. So his ADP is expected to rise, but it hasn't yet. I'm actually going to go with Jerick McKinnon here.
That's who I was going to take too, but LeSean McCoy fell to me and I need a running back. So he's the best available. I got to take him. I'm probably going to have 0% exposure this year in Dynasty or Redraft because I think he's valued a little too high right now, but he's a workhorse. He's going to get the carry. So I'm going McCoy and hoping McKinnon slips to me next round. I'm looking at Pick Predictor here. It's a tab we have and it says there's a 73% chance he's going to fall. If he doesn't, I'm going to be upset. If he does fall, I am going to win.
Yeah, no, I could have definitely taken that chance because I obviously seen him falling further because like ADP where it is right now and ECR where it is right now, he's a little low because people are just, they really don't know what to expect in San Francisco. And to be honest, I expect San Francisco to add another running back. I still do. I don't think that that's over by any means. So, but at the same time, in a Jimmy G led offense by Kyle Shanahan, there can be two backs that are very valuable. And Jerick McKinnon's the one that they obviously made the number three paid running back in the NFL. So I like McKinnon, and that's why I kind of reached a little bit to get him.
If they add another running back, it's going to be Kalen Ballage. I don't think that they're going to draft one of these high guys because, you know, the way they've talked about McKinnon, the way they paid McKinnon, they love him. And they love these really athletic guys. So Ballage it is, I think, in the fourth, fifth round.
I don't know. I mean, he's more of like a pass catcher than he is an early down guy. He's a really big running back, which surprises a lot of people when you see how big, like he's 6'3", I think 228. But he's not a physical running back. He can't get it done on early downs. I think they need someone like a Royce Freeman. I think he would fit in really well with Jerick McKinnon. I feel like that's a really good fit.
They have too many holes. I don't think they're spending a second round pick when they just spent all that money for McKinnon.
I think Freeman's falling. I think running backs, like the ones that are going to go early are the three down ones. Like it wouldn't surprise me to see Rashad Penny go over Royce Freeman. I think Freeman and Chubb are two running backs that are going to fall into rounds three or four. And if they can get him with their extra pick in the third round that they have from the Bears, the 49ers, that could be a landing spot for him.
That is going to be a steal for somebody. Whoever gets Royce Freeman, man.
Yeah, Nick Chubb, too. I mean, Nick Chubb, if he's healthy, and if you don't need him to contribute on third down, like I said, if you have McKinnon in place and you can mix match those two, that's a really good combination.
Yeah. All right, so it's back to me, and I got McCoy. Kenyon Drake fell. Jerick McKinnon fell. Alex Collins is still there. And like I said, I need a running back. Deion Lewis is still there. Deontay Foreman still there. And they just said that they would have no problem using him as their starting running back. So I want all those guys. I'm going to take McKinnon now because he's the best one. He's also the most likely to be picked. Hopefully I can get two or three more in the next few rounds.
Yeah, for sure. That would be nice. Going down, I mean, I had the choice of McCoy last run. I passed on him. I feel like there's 1 year left with him. I think that the Bills, I don't know if his contract's up. He might have one more year after, but I think he's done after this year. I think McCoy is on his way out the door. They may even trade him and draft a running back. The Bills just have a lot of holes in that team,
yeah.
Like a lot. So getting rid of McCoy for some draft picks or something, that would make sense. But anyways, moving on, my team right now, I'm really comfortable with it. And it's like at this spot in the draft where I can go in a multitude of different ways. You know, I have OJ Howard sitting on there. You know, we're in the end of the sixth round, essentially. OJ Howard, I have him as a top six tight end in Dynasty, top seven. That's tempting. David Njoku just went onto the board before he did. So do I go with Howard here or do I go with running back where Kenyon Drake's still available? I'm going to use the Pick Predictor to help me on this one because I just don't know which one I feel like I can land
gone
next
for
round.
Sure. Kenyon Drake is probably gone.
Yeah, it's saying that Drake, that there's a 16% chance that he'll be taken. So he'll probably be there, but OJ Howard is showing 60%. So I'm going to go OJ Howard here and get another elite player at a tough position to predict.
I don't like OJ Howard. To each his own, I guess. Cameron Brate's there, and they want to use him.
part of me feels like they're going to trade Brate. It doesn't make sense. I don't know why they gave him the contract extension.
Jameis Winston will quit if they trade Cameron Brate, because he loves Cameron Brate.
OJ Howard came on at the end of the year, man. Cameron Brate wasn't even getting many targets. I know he was dinged up, but I that signing still makes no sense to me. Like, I really don't know why they did it, but they did, and here we are. So back to where we're at with me. Kenyon Drake is still on the board, which is where I am going. Having Jerick McKinnon as my number two, obviously I'd like to have some depth there, so I'll add Drake.
It's a nice pick, man. He's still there for me too, but you know, I still need a third wide receiver. And like I mentioned, if I don't draft the wide receivers early, I don't like my team. There's one guy who did drop that I think is a real nice value here. It's Cooper Kupp. He's ECR number 30 wide receiver. The next best available is Jordy Nelson, 36. Randall Cobb, 41. So it is getting ugly quick. I'm going to go ahead and get my third wide receiver, Cooper Kupp. And, you know, Drake's probably not going to be there. Maybe he is. But if he's not, I'll take Alex Collins next round.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, looking at this now, like, I'm looking at my draft so far. I'm now in the eighth round, right? And there's been 40 wide receivers that have been taken, and only 24 running backs. So
that's how Dynasty goes, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, just like, this is why you do mock drafts, right? Is like to get a feel as to, you have to know the tendencies of your league mates too, but on a general standpoint, this is how people feel about them. So if you want to wait on running back, it's not really a bad thing.
I'm actually going to wait on running back again here in the eighth round. I think I can get Collins next round based on what the pick predictors tell me. If not, Deion Lewis. Maybe I get all the Green Bay running backs and whichever one turns out to be the starter. I'm pretty pumped. But Jamison Crowder is still there. Another guy that I love, Chris Godwin, is still there. I don't know if I should reach for him. He might be taken. I'd be pretty mad if he's taken. I'd love to get both those guys. But Jamison Crowder is definitely going to be gone. I'm going to grab him now. Still just 24 years old. Washington does not have too much help. Alex Smith's a good quarterback, and Crowder's going to get all those receptions for a long time.
Yeah, I really like Crowder. He's someone that's going to be 100. He's going to be on so many of my teams this year, not even just from a dynasty standpoint, but from actually like redraft. Jamison Crowder is an awesome buy low in Dynasty if you can get him for cheaper. Like Josh Doctson and Paul Richardson, those are not two guys that I'm really concerned about. I think he's going to be targeted a lot from Alex Smith, and I think Jamison Crowder, I think he's a baller. So I do like him. That's a really good pick. He's off the board for me, though.
All right, who are you taking in the eighth and then in the ninth?
Oh, God. I still have Amari Cooper and Allen Robinson as my only two wide receivers, so I feel like I need to go receiver here, but I'm not like in love with the options. Like, I feel like I can
You're
wait.
You're not going to be later either. If you don't like him now, you better take one and hurry up.
Well, that's the thing. Marquise Goodwin is there, but it's telling me that there's only 11% chance that he's picked, so I feel like I can wait there. I don't like Galladay. Robbie Anderson's probably going to get suspended. Kelvin Benjamin's still there, but I don't like Kelvin Benjamin. And when you're building a dynasty roster, you are attached to these people. So I don't want to do it. I can't do that. So it's like, where do I go from here? Because I'm staring again at running back, and we have two flex in this league. So yes, we have to find players. It's a PPR league, so that plays into it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to snag
Zay Jones.
Oh, I'm torn here, Bobby. Deion Lewis or Duke Johnson.
Deion Lewis, man.
Well, Deion Lewis.
Serious?
Well, the reason I say that is because Derrick Henry's going to steal that touchdown upside. Duke Johnson has one more year left on his contract, and he could go to a team where he's actually appreciated because Duke Johnson's a really good football player.
Is he going to play? If they don't cut him, where's he going to get touches? They might get Barkley and Carlos Hyde. Duke Johnson has no role in that offense.
Well, Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde is a good combination. I feel like those two are a very solid combination because I think that Carlos Hyde would kind of walk into the Crowell role. And Duke Johnson, many people don't know, is that he finishes the RB11 in PPR leagues last year, even though he barely touched the ball. Like, look, I'm looking at it right now. There was one game where he had more than 13 touches, and he finishes the RB11 in PPR leagues. Like, that's just stupid. So I think he's a really good football player, and that's where I think I have to go, because I would rather have him on my team, I think, than someone like, I don't know, Randall Cobb, who is available, Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know. I'm not playing for just this year. I'm looking forward, and Duke Johnson is just 24 years old. So I'm going him in my second flex spot.
When I draft Dynasty, I tend to play for this year because I trust my instincts to, you know, continue to rebuild my roster as I'm winning and winning and winning. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I want to win this year, and I want to win in the future. Aaron Jones, I think, is a perfect combination of that for me. Ninth round here, I'm taking another running back. He just has so much upside. Maybe he doesn't have the job, I know that Jamal Williams is in the conversation. They mentioned Ty Montgomery could be the starter still, but Aaron Jones was the best when he got a chance. He's 23 years old. He's a freak athlete. If he's the running back, if he's the starting running back there with Aaron Rodgers, we're talking about someone who could be an RB1.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like him or Jamal Williams, I feel like one of them is going to emerge and you're just going to get a screaming value on them. But Jones is going higher than like I would want to take him. Like, because right now it's showing me that he's the 26th running back in ECR for Dynasty. I think that's too high. Like, he's six spots higher than Jamal Williams. And I mean, if you can get those two as a pair, I'm down with that. Because, like, if you're only paying, you know, a ninth and a 10th round pick to get those guys and you're locked into one of them, like, they have so much value when they have the job.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe Ty Montgomery wins the job. What pick are you at right now and who are you taking?
I'm at 9-5 and I still need a wide receiver. Robbie Anderson's still there. Pierre Garçon is there. John Ross is there. I like John Ross, but this is a starting wide receiver spot. Like, I need someone to occupy the spot for me.
You can just take Keelan Cole later. Like, get John Ross now, wait, and get Keelan Cole.
I don't want Keelan Cole. I don't want him at all. Because I don't know if he plays.
Like a top five wide receiver to close the season.
I'm going to go Robbie Anderson and just hope he doesn't get suspended.
He's probably going to get suspended, but even when he comes back, he's going to be a good play.
Yeah, and they're probably going to have Baker Mayfield, so that'll be nice.
I think so, too. All right, man, it is 10th round for me. I skipped you. I was at 9-7. You just picked 9-5, so Alex Collins is still there. I have to do it. I know Jamal Williams. I'd like to have him, too. Maybe I'll get him next round, but I'm not going to wait any longer on Alex Collins. 23 years old. He was very good last year. I would like to get another wide receiver. Maybe Pierre Garçon's there next round, but I got to get Alex Collins now while I can.
Alex Collins went at 8-6 in mine, so that's a steal on your part.
Yeah, man. Pretty sweet.
Pretty jealous of that pick. Yeah. So so what pick are you on now? Where are you up to?
I just did 10-6, so it's to you at 10-8, I believe, and then 11-5.
All right. So, again, my wide receivers are not ideal. They're far from ideal, as a matter of fact. But I just don't love the options. Now this is where it goes back in the draft. Maybe instead of taking Jerick McKinnon, I would have taken a wide receiver if I were to go back and do it again. Because I do have Zeke, McKinnon, Drake, Duke Johnson, but Tariq Cohen is sitting there calling my name. Like, I feel like he's going to be a player, but at the same time,
PPR too.
Yeah. Deontay Foreman is there. Jamal Williams is there. Rex Burkhead's still on the board. Marlon Mack. Like, there's so many running backs here. I can't go running back again. I have to do something different here. I have to get a wide receiver. So,
How about this? You draft Foreman. Trade him to me for one of my wide receivers because I really wanted Foreman, like, big time.
I would totally do that. But the thing is, I can't draft another running back. It's just going to kill me. I have to... I'm going with John Ross. I'm taking him here over D.D. Westbrook. And I know a lot of people would be like, why would you do that? D.D. Westbrook's playing. Because I think John Ross is a lot more talented than D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah.
That's why.
I mean, are you expecting Marvin Lewis to get fired, though?
Oh, yes. That's
John happening. John Ross is probably going to get cut if Marvin Lewis is his coach.
I'm hoping he's traded. Like, that's my hope is that he's traded. But even if he's not, it's not going to be very long that they're coached by that individual.
All right. John Ross was just picked in my draft. Actually, you know what? It's your turn again. I was trying to skip you, but I'm going to let you go. 11-5. Who are you taking?
Yeah, so Rex Burkhead did go. That's where I was going to go. Deontay Foreman is still there, so I feel like I can build a little bit of depth on my bench here. It's either him or I go with a wide receiver like, I mean, Cameron Meredith's there. Julian Edelman, who can help me contribute this year, but it's Dynasty. I feel like Edelman might have...
For the two games he's healthy.
Well, he might have 1 year left. I mean, that's the thing, so... I'm going to go with Deontay Foreman here and just continue to add to my stable of running backs that I need to trade away.
I needed another wide receiver. I've only got four of them right now, and Pierre Garçon's still there. He's going to help me this year. I love him. I love Pierre Garçon and Kyle Shanahan's offense with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to be a sweet pick for a couple years.
For sure. I like it.
All right, and back to me here. You are not going to like this tags. Rex Burkhead is still on. Wait. Jamal Williams is still on the board.
Yeah, he went at 11-11.
Oh, man, who do I pick? I mean, I got Aaron Jones, so I think I got to go Jamal Williams, but I'd rather have Rex Burkhead. I got to go Jamal Williams. I'm basically guaranteed the Green Bay running back here if I get Jamal Williams, so that's where I'm going.
So when you get a pick like that, now this is something important to notice, right? Like, it does let you know in the draft wizard, like, if there's a handcuff that you're about when you're picking, if there's a handcuff for one of yours. Now, Dynasty, do you want a handcuff, guys? Not necessarily, but when looking at what Bobby, the choice he just had, I think it really comes down to you have to look at your roster and be honest about it. Say, am I building for the future or is this a team that I feel like can win right now? So, you know, if it was a team that could win now, Rex Burkhead, I feel like, would have been the better pick. But if it's a team that, you know, you're building for the future and you're just going to look to see one of Aaron Jones or Jamal Charles emerge as the starter, like the
Jamal Charles is not going to emerge.
Jamal Williams. Jamal Charles is that time has passed. But that's where you really need to pay attention to your team and be honest to yourself about, you know, what you're shooting for with that particular dynasty team.
All right, man. Who are you taking here in run 12 for you?
All right, so considering I don't feel necessarily great about John Ross or Robbie Anderson to start the season because I need someone to plug into my starting lineup, DeSean Jackson's still available here. And again, people are like, wait, DeSean Jackson in the 12th round is dynasty. DeSean Jackson's 31 years old. He might have 2 years left. But at the same time, he's someone that can give me something right now. I can plug him into my lineup and get some big weeks out of him. So I am okay with him on my bench there.
I'd like to get another running back because it gets ugly really quick. I mean, think about it this way. We're not drafting rookies, and there's probably going to be, by the end of this year, 5 rookies starting in the NFL. At the start of the year, maybe 2, maybe 3, right? But it's getting ugly quick at running back because we are not drafting this guy. So I'd love to get Devontae Booker. Apparently, he's got a good chance to start for the Broncos. I don't know what they see in him, but he's someone who was formerly very talented. Maybe it's still there. Spencer Ware is probably going to be gone next round, so I'd like to get him as well. But I also need another wide receiver. It's ugly there, too. This is a deep league, so it's ugly all over the place. I'm going to go ahead and grab Spencer Ware because I don't know what's going on with Kareem Hunt's legal issues. I could be getting an RB1 here. Spencer Ware was an RB1 when he was a starting running back. Even if he's not, even if Kareem Hunt isn't suspended, Spencer Ware is going to get 35-40% of the touches in an Andy Reid offense. I think he can be useful in a double flex league.
Yeah, no, definitely could be. That's the thing, is just trying to figure out what do you want on your bench, and Spencer Ware is the perfect, you know, guy to put on a bench, especially in like a behind Kareem Hunt. Like we saw what happened last year when Spencer Ware went down. Kareem Hunt walks into that role. Do we think that Spencer Ware is going to steal that? No, but do I think he's going to be worked back into the offense? I do. I think it's going to be more of like a 70-30 because Kareem Hunt last year was like a 90-10. Like it was just like nobody else got touches because Charcandrick West wasn't very good. But I have no issue with Ware here. I wish we could draft rookies because I still see like guys like Royce Freeman on the board and stuff. So, but I can't do that.
I feel like at this point you can because I've been seeing a bunch of rookies go off my board.
No, it's okay. They can draft rookies. We cannot. It would be theft at this point to take someone like that because Bobby, you mentioned it. Rookies, 4 of the top 10 running backs last year were rookies. And granted, that was a phenomenal class. And do we expect that to be the case again? No. But I'm saying it's a young man's game. Like if you look at the top 15 running backs, you're going to see a bunch of young bucks there. So I'm okay with drafting running backs that are really young, like rookies. If they walk into a decent situation, yeah, draft them. So going to my team, I have enough running backs, I think. I don't need to add any more here. So my options here are between Mohamed Sanu, someone like Keelan Cole is still there, Tyrell Williams. I don't feel great about any of these guys. Man, this would be a point where I'd definitely be drafting rookies, just hoping for a little bit of unknown. But actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to go Darkshon. I didn't think I was going to go, but I'm going to draft Trey Burton. He's still available.
Oh, and no, he's honestly, not. Are you serious? No. You are cheating.
And he's going to be a better tight end than OJ Howard this year.
Yeah.
Like people listen to me. I said on that one podcast, Bobby, and you were like, what? That's what I'm saying. He's going to be a top 10 tight end this year.
I think you're right. I mean, they're not going to use him as a tight end. They're going to use Adam Shaheen in that role. They're just going to split him out wide, put him in the slot, and he can play there.
They're going to spread out that offense an awful lot if they plan on playing him in the slot. They're not just going to do all 2 tight end sets or anything like that. They're going to use Tariq Cohen. They're going to use Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard on the field at the same time. Like it's going to be a very exotic offense. But Trey Burton knows the offense. He knows 90% of the plays already. And that's huge going to a new team with a quarterback he can build some rapport with. So Trey Burton, yeah, I'm happy with that.
You know who's still available in my league? Tom Brady.
I wouldn't draft, honestly, like him and Dynasty.
I mean, I got Aaron Rodgers, so like, what am I going to do? Have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady?
Well, right, you don't need that.
Maybe. I'm thinking about it. I'm really thinking about it. Because, look, I'm not going for the grade here or whatever. Tom Brady, I think it would probably help my grade. I don't know actually how the Dynasty Draft Wizards grading works. But here's the thing. If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and I have to use Mitch Trubisky, I'm going to be really mad. Tags would be jealous, but I'd be really mad. If I have Tom Brady, you know what? I could even just play the matchups. Aaron Rodgers, you know, 70% of the time, Tom Brady in the great matchups where it's going to be a shootout. That would be awesome. Or I can hold on to Tom Brady and I can trade him to a guy whose quarterback gets hurt. That's what I'm doing. I'm picking Tom Brady.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I understand the logic because I really do believe you need to draft a backup quarterback in a dynasty league. And it's always good to have another one that's a solid quarterback. But my issue here is that, like, Brady, I have as my number 19 quarterback in dynasty. I would rather have Mitch Trubisky than Tom Brady. Not even lying. And I'm not saying that. I would rather have Mariota. I would rather have Mahomes, Derek Carr. Like, these are names of players that I would rather have.
In a two-quarterback league, I'm with you, because it's hard to get those good starting quarterbacks. In a one-quarterback league, we're looking for somebody who can be a quarterback one. Trubisky has the upside. I don't think he's probably going to be a quarterback one, though.
You don't ever want to be tempted to start him, and you're going to have a decision between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady every single week. Like, that's the thing, is, like, matchups will play into that, but... Like me, I'm looking, so my draft obviously is a little different than yours. I have Garoppolo still on the board. Drafting him to back up Aaron Rodgers makes more sense because I'm not going to start him over Rodgers, but he's obviously someone that can walk in, and if something happened to Rodgers, which has happened a couple times in his career, I'm fine with that. And, you know, we talked about it, not liking the wide receivers down here and taking chances on rookies, so why not grab your backup quarterback? So that's actually what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take Garoppolo here.
Sweet, man. I love it. All right, on to round 15 for you. You've got two more picks left. Who are you taking?
Yep, I am here. One running back that's kind of like screaming my name a little bit is Jeremy Hill, because he's there. He signed with the Patriots, if you missed that. But at the same time, he could be cut. The contract has only got, like, I think $500,000 guaranteed, so it's not like he's guaranteed to be on the team. Keelan Cole is still there. Tyrell Williams is still there. I am probably... I'm so torn on... You know what? I'm so torn on Tyrell Williams. Like, I feel like the Chargers held on to him and made sure he didn't get out.
You've seen his upside. It's a good wide receiver. He's still just 26 too.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, do I do that? Or do I go like someone like Tyler Lockett? I'm going to go Lockett just because with Paul Richardson leaving, hoping that he eventually breaks out. But Tyler Lockett's been a disappointment. But at the same time, I just feel better because I don't feel like there's because you have Keenan Allen and then you have Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. It's like, Tyrell Williams is the fourth option there.
And Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. And they're talking about drafting a running back. So Tyler Lockett's the higher upside play here. I'll go him.
I think so, too. I think that's a good pick, man. I would have taken Keelan Cole. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick Keelan Cole. I want to ask you, though, Tags, what do you think about Paul Richardson now that he's with the Redskins and they paid him all that money?
I don't know how I feel about the fit. I think that they drafted him to be something that he's really, that they brought him in as a free agent to be something he's not. I know he's fast and all that, but I don't feel like he's a DeSean Jackson. I don't feel like he's a field stretcher that, like a Tyreek Hill that Alex Smith had last year. I feel like he's a wide receiver that just happens to be semi-quick, but I don't think deep threat is the only thing he does. I believe he's a decent red zone option, but with Josh Doctson, I think he's the red zone option. Like, he's the high point guy. He's the one who can jump over.
Well, if he's not shadowed by elite cornerbacks every single matchup like he was last year.
Well, that's the thing, is like, so who do teams do? I think that they play sides. I don't think that they view either of those as an elite option. I think Josh Doctson was the only one last year, because you're choosing between Doctson or, Terrell Pryor or Ryan Grant. Those were the options. And it's like, obviously we're going to go cover Doctson, but with Richardson there, he might not see so much of those top corners. So I'd be like someone like Marshawn Lattimore, who are they going to stick on him? Like, that's a question. So yeah.
All right, man, my 16th round pick, and every single practice mock draft that I did, I took this guy. So I knew he was going to be there. Curtis Samuel. I'm really excited about Curtis Samuel. He's electric, man. They finally started giving the ball right before he got hurt. And you watch this guy's tape, I think he's going to be a special player in the NFL. I don't think he's ever going to be a heavy target guy, but he's electric. Like I said, he can break big plays, and he's going to score some touchdowns. He's 21 years old. Carolina has nothing in the passing game either.
Yeah, they don't. But my only concern with him is, like, I have no issue with him, the player and the athlete that he is. I just have issues with Cam Newton. Like, so Cam Newton can't hit the broadside of a barn. His accuracy is not good. And that's why it's like, you know, Christian McCaffrey played well. Granted, he did, because that's like the short area of the field. And even then, his completion percentage to him as a running back was really, really low. It's because Cam Newton is just not accurate. He's just not. So Curtis Samuel is not a big guy by any means. So that's my concern with him, is that I do believe he can be a playmaker, but will he be on that team? I don't know if there's enough for him and McCaffrey in that intermediate part of the field.
That's fair.
So, I mean, you just hope he goes
upside,
somewhere else.
Man. It's last round. It's a lottery ticket.
For sure.
Flyer.
Yeah.
All right. Make your last pick and then tell me your draft grade, because it is going to be close. I think I like your team. I think I've got you beat, though, maybe by 1 or 2 points.
I went with Jeremy Hill for my last pick just because I feel like that's my final pick. It's like if he sticks and he's the goal line back for New England, that could pay off.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was eyeing Jeremy Hill, but I have like 50 running backs, so I didn't need him.
I don't know if you beat me, dude.
All right, what'd you get?
96 out of 100.
What?
Yep.
No way.
I'll screenshot it and put it on Twitter if you want me to.
All right. And I'll screenshot my 97 and put it on Twitter. Sucker.
Nice. 97.
I'm just messing with you, man. I got a 93.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, I feel good about my team, actually. I really do. I mean, the wide receivers, I put some upside on the bench. But yeah, my final roster is Rodgers at quarterback. My running backs are Ezekiel Elliott, Jerick McKinnon. Wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, Robbie Anderson. Tight end, OJ Howard / Trey Burton. Flex, Kenyon Drake, Duke Johnson. And then my bench is John Ross, Deontay Foreman, DeSean Jackson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tyler Lockett, and Jeremy Hill.
It's a good team, man. Like, I trust your judgment. I'm really glad that we have you on this podcast. Like, you're my partner, man. I think you have a great team, a great sense of everything going on. I do like my team a little bit better, though. Let me read it off. So I'm upset that the grade didn't work my way. But I got Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, LeSean McCoy, Jerick McKinnon at running back. I've also got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I'm going to get one of those running backs there. Alex Collins, Spencer Ware. And then my wide receivers, this is where it's good here. Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Jamison Crowder, Cooper Kupp, Pierre Garçon, Curtis Samuel, Keelan Cole, and then my tight end, Travis Kelce. So I'm fond of both of our teams, man.
Yeah, no, the wide receivers, I'm definitely jealous of. I think what might have hurt you, though, is a little bit is the fact that, like, you had some of the older players like Brady, like McCoy, and those
definitely,
guys are being majorly devalued, but that might help you win a championship in year one. And that's the thing. Don't ever overlook that. If you have a draft that's going, a lot of people are going like young, a lot of young wide receivers early, take advantage of that and say, you know what, whatever, I'm going to win this league for this year. I'm going to win the league this year, and we'll go from there.
Yep, I'm looking at the other rosters in my league. I am definitely winning it this year. We'll see about next year. All right, man. Well, that's all for today's show. As always, Tags, lots of fun, man. I'm glad to be back on the show and looking forward to doing another one next week.
That was a blast, man. They're making a mistake next week, by the way. We're having Adam Rank come on the podcast. So him and I are going to, all we're going to do is gush about the Bears for the entire episode. So it's going to be a good time with Rank.
That's not a mistake, man. Adam Rank is awesome.
Yes, yes. Adam's one of my favorites.
All right, guys, if you want to compete against us, if you were doing it during this podcast, take a screenshot, send it to us on Twitter at Mike Taglier, NFL, at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Let us know how you did. Maybe you beat us. You probably beat me. I don't think you're going to beat Tags because Tags had a really good grade there. Anyways, for Mike Taglier, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
Pick up, pick up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.